Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. You know, wisdom kind of starts with a question. The Spirit of the Lord asked me, he says, what do you think is on wisdom's table anyway? So my message is understanding the table of wisdom. He took me here and back into chapter 9. And it says, wisdom has built her house, and she's hewn out her seven pillars. She's killed her beast. Or she's prepared a beast. This is a banquet table here. Big banquet. Think of a king's table. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. And then she sends forth her maidens and calleth from the highest place of the city. Whoso is simple. You know what that word simple means? Foolish, naive, stupid. She's nice about it, though. She just calls it simple. Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come and eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I have mingled. This is all in her house, by the way. Forsake foolishness and live and go. Say go. Everything that she served on that table, she summarizes in one word. Walk in the highway of understanding. Now, we know that wisdom is a person. It didn't take her very long to take over when Solomon began to write. Even in chapter 1, she took over in verse 20 and started talking like God. She said, turn you at my reproof, and I will pour my spirit out on you. My spirit. Wisdom speaking first person. I will pour out my spirit. I will make known my words to you. And she gives this instruction all the way through to chapter 7. And then she begins to introduce. She says, call wisdom your sister. Call understanding your best friend. Call her. Understand. You can write this down. Wisdom as a person. What she gives is this amazing word called understanding. Don't even look at that as any kind of understanding that the world gives, because all that she's going to give is above anything you have ever learned from the world or its systems. All she gives, her understanding, her knowledge, doesn't originate or come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't come from any earthly training or equipping. Everything she gives is far above anything the earth will ever give. And this word understanding, it's actually pronounced binah. Say binah. It's B-I-Y-N-A-H. Binah is how you say it. Binah. And I began to look that word up, and I was quite amazed from the lexicon, what it said, the Hebrew lexicon. Glory to God forever. Because she giveth, she says, walk in the highway of understanding. It came with such a trembling. I'm like, what is going on here? And then I began to realize that everyone that received this kind of understanding, it came with trembling. As we move into today's message, you'll understand. But it means divine intelligence, heavenly insight, and skilled in the understanding of the times. Do you remember the sons of Issachar said they were skilled in the understanding binah? They had the anointing of binah. Amen. They had skillfulness in the understanding of the times. Amen. That is what God is giving to this generation, what he's going to pour out with the seven eyes of the Lord and the seven spirits of God, is the skillfulness of the understanding of the times we live in, but it's coming with heavenly insight. And here's what insight means. This is from Webster's. It says to have a very clear and deep understanding of complicated problems and situations. We are in a complicated generation right now. There are political complications. There's religious complications. There's financial complications. We're living in a time and a season where everything in the earth, in heaven and earth, will be shaken. And as it shakes heaven and earth, God is going to bring his people forth with skilled wisdom and understanding of the times and understanding of deep understanding of complicated situations. They're going to bring solutions to the earth from a heavenly place. There is solutions for every single problem happening in the earth today. And God is going to bring the solution out of heaven. But as long as we rely on the earth and the things of the earth, as long as we rely on anything in the earth, we're not going to receive heaven's solution. But God is going to ordain a people. And wisdom is going to serve it up on her table. A heavenly solution. She has a heavenly solution, a very deep understanding, and a heavenly solution to everything you're facing personally, everything we face corporately, everything we face nationally, everything we face globally. She has a solution. She has a way, a highway. She's saying, now leave the simplicity of the earth, which I mock and laugh at. For there are no answers in the earth. And you'll find as things begin to shake more and more and more to the days of true darkness in the earth, God will bring the light of heaven into the earth. Amen. Arise, shine thy light. Understanding, wisdom is spreading a table for the people of God to bring the solution into the earth. This is what she's offering from her table. This is what she gives. Listen, by me, the kings will reign in this last hour. By me, the princes will decree justice. By me, the nobles and the judges of the earth will be raised up. By me, with a solution that's not earthly, but heavenly. It doesn't matter what people are saying. God's going to bring the heavenly solution. Wisdom's going to serve it from her table. With the understanding of times, that is what we will be given in this hour. Go over to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs 7, 8, and 9, a very interesting picture because he introduces this heart. He'd already spoken in chapter 2, chapter 5, chapter 6 about adultery and fornication, but here, chapter 7, he's talking about this young man going into the harlot's house. He's speaking of something much more broader than just somebody moving into a brothel house. He's speaking of a young man being intercepted by the proverbial harlot of the world system. This harlot is actually the prince of the power of the air that controls the world system, and she's lying in wait of every corner of our life. But, and it talks about how she, her movements, it talks about her seductions, it talks about the bed chambers. Listen, remember when Elisha with the king, and he said, listen, it doesn't matter what you do, O king, because he was saying, who is giving away our secrets? He says, this man, Elisha, can see what you whisper in your bedchamber. But see, she has the world in her system, but I want you to notice this in chapter 7, verse 4. It says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, call understanding, Binah, thy kinswoman, thy friend. Get her very close to you. She'll keep you from the strange woman of the world system, from the stranger that flatters with her words. You have no idea. When the enemy comes, we always think he's just coming with sin. That is not the chief places that he operates from. He operates much higher than that as an angel of light. He operates and enamors people with idolatry when they don't even know they're in idolatry. He operates in a level, she, he, it operates in a way that we don't understand, keeping us out of the glory of God, trying to maneuver us with the busyness of the world to keep us from partaking of Christ, partaking of the Father, partaking of the tree of life. Constantly, from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, what is keeping you away from God? What are you serving? What is your heart full of? What is preoccupying your heart day in and day out? Why can't we break through? What's in the way? There's a harlot there. And she's very good at what she does. To the young men void of understanding until we grow up. Now, I want you to notice in verse 6, this is wisdom speaking. This is the first time she introduces her house. She talks about the house of the harlot, but she talks about her house too. There's two houses going on. There's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the world. It says, for at the window, say at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. I beheld among the simple ones. She sees everything. I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner. He went to the way to what? Her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the dark and black night. Say dark and black night. It doesn't matter how dark the world gets. Wisdom can see everything. She sees right through the blackness. She sees right through the darkness. She has a very clear view of all things. And if you're going to see what our Father is doing in the earth in this last hour, if we're going to see through the seven eyes of the Lord, if we're going to see through the seven spirits of God, we're going to have to dwell where wisdom is in her house so we can look through her window. If we're not looking through her window, we're already having our eyes manipulated by the systems of this world. As Paul was saying, we see in part, we know in part, but that which is perfect comes to fruition. That which is in part will be done away. Amen? There is this discernment, this glory, this light, this understanding of the times that comes when we begin dwelling with wisdom. She starts bringing immediate solutions to very long-term problems in our life. She starts bringing immediate solutions on how to operate and function in ways that we didn't know how to do before. And we get to see things, they see, where we didn't see before. We were talking about this the other day, Pastor Chuck and I. If only we had the wisdom we have now, 20 years ago, when we first started ministry, where would we be right now? We would have a whole lot of people we lost, very innocent people, because we know how to keep the enemy out in certain ways now. We know how to promote now where we didn't before. Amen? If only we could have had that kind of a, this is wisdom, is saying, listen, you don't have to learn things the hard way. There is a table I set before you every day. And I got to come into this table this weekend. And I had to start being exposed. When I went into this room, I don't know how to explain it. People say, how do you enter these places? I said, I get a revelation of it. And from that revelation, I see it. Not with these eyes, but the eyes of my heart. And when I see it with the eyes of my heart, I can go there. Whereas it was just knowledge before, I can't enter a place by knowledge. Even though there's a door, I can't enter into a place called the door by knowledge alone. But when that knowledge becomes revelation, when the Holy Spirit lights it up in my spirit, I see it. I know how to go there. I know how to get in there. I know what house to go in. I know what door. I know where the door is. I can see the door. I can go in. But now she's sharing me what's in the door. Amen? And that's what today, what I want to talk to you about, what's in that door. How to see from wisdom's perspective. Even if there's darkness, you'll see right through it. Amen? Now go for a minute to Proverbs 8. She immediately makes her case in chapter 8. She says, listen, I know what the harlot will offer you. I know the temptations. I know the seductions. I know the enamoring. Doesn't have to be sin. I've been enamored for a long time on things that I should not have been enamored with. And I realized I thought it was God. I was enamored with people. I had an over and... how would you say that? Enamorization. Is that a word, Anna? And I was so enamored by certain people with certain gifts and certain operations, and I was just like, oh. And then when I grew up, I'm like, what was I so enamored about? Because I saw behind the veil. I'm like, what? How many of you have been enamored with a business deal? You just knew it was going to change your life forever. And you launched into it. And it was glorious. And then it went. That's how the enemy sets you up. He enamors you with his system. He's very good at it. It's called idolatry. Nobody thinks they go serve an idol because you don't have a Buddha in your house. That is not idolatry for the Christian world. Idolatry is when the enemy enamors you with his system or somebody or something, and he gets you moved off the path of God. When the blessing of God comes, it maketh rich, but won't add any of the sorrow with it. It's not going to make you an indentured servant to it. Amen. Glory to God. That's the kind of blessing wisdom wants to give. It's the kind of blessing that will not affect your relationship with the Father, but enhance it. Amen. And when she says, I'm going to make you a king, she's going to do it the right way. She has wisdom and understanding, and I'm going to show it to you today, and information in there. Heavenly insight. Divine intelligence. Understanding of the times. Things that we don't get here. Things that not even Bible schools can give you in the earth. That for those who forsake foolishness, that turn away from even their own understanding. Yeah, I think in Proverbs 3, she said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not even to your own understanding. Don't even lean to your understanding because it's not going to get you into the future. Listen, all that you know is not going to get you there. All that will be shown to you will get you there. Amen? Her table is so full of glory. I was trembling. I thought, what is this anointing in here? She says, I know what you'll give, but I wisdom also. In Proverbs 8, she goes, does not wisdom cry and understanding lift up their voice? She stands in the top of the high places. You'll never, ever see wisdom inside the world. She's always above it. She's always in the top. She's always above. Even when she comes down to meet with you, she's still outside the world system. She prefers you to be with her above. She built Solomon's throne. David received the designs and plans and the wealth of God, but it was Solomon that built that temple. It was Solomon that built that kingdom, and it was wisdom that built Solomon's house. And he understood her by this relationship he had with her, and he referred to her as a her. He says, does not wisdom cry? You can see all three of the omnis. You can see the Alpha and the Omega here in chapter 8. By the end of chapter 8, she goes, I was with him in the beginning when he created the earth. I was there in the beginning. I give the knowledge of witty invention. I can go into the future and I can show you things that you have not seen. I give and search out the foreknowledge of witty invention. By me, kings reign. Princes decree justice. Look at verse 14. This is where she honed in on this one. She says, counsel is mine. The kind of counsel you really need. To launch you from where you are, to break you from the cycle. How many of you in a cycle you want to get out of? Raise your hand. Everyone in here should have raised your hand. Do you like your present cycle? Does it look like the promise of God? If it's not, you're locked into a cycle. Wisdom can graduate you from the cycle. You can be in the cycle 5 years, 5 months, 50 years. You can die in a cycle. It happens all the time. Or you can graduate out from it. Boy, I'm looking at the kind of glory that graduates us right now. What the Father wants to give us, what wisdom wants to give us, what she gives in the high places. Notice what it says here in verse 14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Notice what she says. I am understanding. Binah, I am. She didn't say, I give this to you. I am. Say, I am. This understanding that she said, walk in the highway of the skillfulness of understanding of times, of heavenly insight, divine intelligence. Walk in the highway of it. I am this intelligence. I am this thing that you seek. I am a person that you enter a relationship, and this is what I give from the relationship. We, as Christians, if and scholars and teachers have taken this Bible and this proverbial person of wisdom and reduced it to principles of wisdom by we walk by that we've gotten from earthly things. These are far more than principles. It's a heavenly relationship with an eternal person called wisdom, Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God, all the same person. Solomon knew the Holy Spirit is wisdom. We know the Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. John understood the Holy Spirit in the last days as the seven spirits of God. Same person, different operations, manifestations. Amen. Said, I am understanding. Hear instruction, verse 33, and refuse it not. Bless it is the man that heareth me, that hears my call out from simpleness, out from foolishness, out to come out, to come out from wandering in the desert, to come out from wandering around the mountain, to come out from waking up and going to bed in the same cycle all the time. Blessed is the man that hears my call to come out, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. My doors, plural. She sit and standeth. She stands over the whole system of the world. She stands over the political system. She stands over the financial system. She stands over the religious system. She stands over the church, but she's above it. She's above it. She has a solution for every one of them. She stands above your family. She stands above this church. She has the solution to get us out from where we are into where our promise is. She alone holds within her the understanding of times to move us into a state of graduation. She'll show us what's in the way, what the Father's looking for, and she'll maneuver us and position us properly for breakthrough. Amen. Glory. She says, and then she invites us into this house. Wisdom is building her house. She's shewn out her seven pillars. Those seven pillars, New Testament, wisdom from above is righteousness, peace, gentleness, humility, equality, truth, mercy. She's also the seven spirits of God, the Spirit of the Lord God. I want you to see this, Isaiah 11:2. Go there because we're kind of going to move out from Proverbs now. We're going to go look at her as she makes entrance into some of these men's life with this thing called understanding of the times. Say, Binah. Isaiah 11:2. When she delivers knowledge, she don't deliver it the way you get it here. She delivers it with an intense anointing, with a heavy anointing. When she starts delivering the knowledge of the future, she does it in a heavenly way. Don't even think moving in that house is boring. I couldn't get enough. I don't understand what's going on, but there is this incredible draw right now. And the more he gives you, the more you want, and the more he has. And when you think you've got it, he just goes, and you're just chasing this incredible light, and it's filling every place and filling you with solutions and filling you with answers and filling you with breakthrough. And he fills you with his own self. He's ever expanding. It's glorious. He fills everything up. Glory, love, light, life. And you want more. You can have more. The more you get, the more you get. Amen. Say to him who hath my word, to him will be given more. But if you let the enemy take my word, he'll take all of it. Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's the Spirit of glory. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord's resting, it'll always come with the glory. Say the glory. That's one. Spirit of wisdom, two. Spirit of what? Bina. Bina. The spirit of counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven parts of the seven spirits of God that will rest on you in this process. The spirit of the Lord, spirit of glory, spirit of wisdom, understanding, spirit of counsel, might, spirit of bina, understanding of the times. He gives you insight, divine intelligence. She offers this invitation to her table to give you something you don't have. Notice who she invites, the foolish. The world doesn't want anything to do with the foolish. The world only delights in the proud, the high-minded. Those are the only ones. They respect the high-minded one another and they congratulate and pat each other on the back. But wisdom says, I'll take the foolish of the world and I'll confound the wise with it. I'll give you a wisdom and an intelligence that'll confound the wisdom of this world. But you got to lay down the ways of the world for this. You got to lay down your ways for this. Because the ways of the world are not my ways. But I'll give it to you. If you seek it with all of your heart and search for it, I'll give it. You'll find this type of understanding. The sons of Issachar had it. When they all came to David, when he was crowned in Mount Hebron, all the different tribes came, and Issachar comes and said they had understanding of the times. Notice what it says in 1 Chronicles 12:32. It says, of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding, bina, of the times, watch this, to know what Israel ought to do. There were 200 of them, and they were his chief counselors. How do you think he did what he did? God wrapped 200 men of light around David that had understanding of the times they were in, and that understanding translated in what Israel ought to do and was part of the progression and advancement of his crown. They gave him the wisdom and understanding to pave that way. He surrounded himself with these people of light. This is what God's going to do. He's going to fill this church up with light. We haven't even seen the light of the Father because it's on the other side of the love of the Father. It's love, then light. But God is love. God is light. God is glory. God is grace. God is fullness. And he's quite remarkable. It's one of the first times he kind of came with me in here this morning. A lot of times, I mean, if the whole year I was cut up with him, I'd just have this glorious time. I'd come in here and he wouldn't show up like that. I'm like, where are you? But he said he would. There's a time he said he would. He would come down and dwell with us. Amen. And when he comes to dwell, he continue to dwell, he's going to start doing what he does. Amen. When the Father's present, there's breakthrough. When the Father's present, there's miraculous encounter with heaven. Amen. There's creative miracles. There's multiplication. There's increase. That's what happens when the Father's ministry shows up in the earth. So he took me to something I wasn't expecting. Because I want to show you what it is that Daniel had found. Say Daniel. So I want you to go to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to look at Daniel's encounters. You're going to recognize his encounters because they're a whole lot like John's encounters. Especially when the Lord manifested himself in a pre-incarnate state to Daniel. Remember the prince of the Persia, the air? There's something about the way the enemy hates this type of operation because he's already seen it more than once. And when Solomon had it, he destroyed the entire kingdom of darkness before Solomon's fall. That whole earth, the kings and the peoples of the earth were harvested in one generation under Solomon. And it was because wisdom had built that house. Now, Daniel is about to receive an encounter. And we're just going to pick it up in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. It says, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision in the beginning, I think that was back in chapter 8, being caused to fly swiftly, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me, say informed me, and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, Say, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give thee skill and what? Binah. Understanding. I have come, Daniel, to give you understanding that's way beyond your years. That's going to reach even to the ends of time. I'm going to give you understanding, Daniel, of the Alpha and the Omega. I'm going to give you the understanding of times. Not everybody gets the understanding of times. But those who do, it always comes with a glory. And it comes with an earth-shattering glory. Amen? That's what God is going to put on the people of God in this last hour. The bridal company. You know, Church of Philadelphia, I ran that whole thing. It's brotherly love. If you keep running it, it's not only brotherly love. It's brotherly love. And then it goes into the wife's love for her husband. When you start running the roots of the word, the bridal company. The wife's love for Christ. You run the root word, it'll actually go into that, but I'm not running that today for you. Praise God. That's just a side note. And at the beginning of the supplication, the commandment came forth. And he said, he goes, I have come forth to thee. For thou art, verse 23, greatly beloved. Therefore, understanding the matter and consider the vision, 70 weeks have been determined upon my people. He starts giving in the unfolding revelation of the 70 weeks of 70 years. By the way, 69 weeks have been fulfilled. There's 1 week left of Daniel's vision. 1 week left. 7 years. Weeks of 7 years. 7 year tribulation. And Daniel came all this understanding. He goes, I'm coming to give you Binah. Daniel, I'm giving you something very few people get like this. You're greatly beloved, Daniel. Understand this. So Daniel gets this thing and he goes into this fast, this 21-day fast in chapter 10. And then the juice begins. Amen. He gets in chapter 10 and he begins this 3 weeks of fasting. And in verse 5, a lot of people say this is an angel. I know this is not an angel. This encounter looks exactly like John's encounter. You remember the prince of the power of the air withstood? Watch this. He does it like this. But God has changed the way we receive now. We're not a Daniel generation. We are a revelation generation. We get called up to receive. He doesn't have to bring it down. He brings us up. Amen. He doesn't have to come down through the second heaven, 3 weeks of second heaven darkness fighting. He just calls our spirit straight up to the throne of God. And he gives us the Binah. But here he had to bring it down. And the prince of Persia fought with him getting down. To give him this understanding that wisdom is promising from her house. The kind of understanding that's going to come with personal, corporate, national, and global solution from a spiritual place. God, I promise you, when the seven spirits of God get released, God is going to start putting people that had no earthly business into very high places. Because they're going to have a wisdom that's far superior than any college could ever give. They're going to have insight far superior than the greatest intellectual minds of the earth. And they'll be very simple people that have profound anointings upon their life. Because of one thing, they have the capacity to sit in wisdom's house and look down the way God looks down. To see what the Father's doing. To be anointed with the eyes of God. The seven eyes of divine intelligence. Anointed with omnipresent omniscience. This is what she was offering from her table. I want to give you divine omniscience. It'll cure your simplicity like that. It'll cure your foolishness like that. It'll give you a level of discernment, razor sharp discernment of operating the earth, because you'll see through the darkness. You won't be a part of it. You won't be stumbling around in the wrong places. You'll have very clear cut discernment of who you are, what you're doing, seeing things from the Father's perspective. From the table of wisdom, you look through her house always. You don't even counsel somebody until you're seated in wisdom's house, looking from the perspective of windows of wisdom. She shares the omniscience of God and gives a solution to somebody in 1 second flat. How to unlock somebody's spirit, how to unlock a city, how to unlock wealth, how to take a strong man down from a seated position, how to access David's treasuries. Amen. And I lifted up my eyes, verse 5, and looked, and behold, oh, there he is. A certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the precious gems of the beryl. His face as the appearance of lightning. Who's that sound like to you? Sound like the one that appeared before John. And his eyes were lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet were polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of the multitude. And then just like John, Daniel just fell at his feet like dead. I mean, his body just... There is a glory in the Father, you lose it. And he couldn't even, because I can't even look up. And the Lord grabbed his arm and lifted him, and strength came back in him. He says, I have come, Daniel, listen to this. Do you love it? I've come. He goes, from the day you prayed, I heard you. But the prince of Persia withstood me, because I brought down through the veil the understanding of the times. That I'm about to give you, Daniel, the unfolding revelation of all the kingdoms into the end. I'm going to show it to you. And it came with glory, and it came with a lightning in his countenance. Because I've come, Daniel, are you ready for this? For your words. Say, for your what? I've come for what? I come before your words. Say words. I've come for your words. To do this for your words. Isn't that glorious? Notice he says, verse 12. And he said unto me, I don't know about you, but that's just, I have a whole lot of fun with this. He said, from the first day that you did is set thine heart for the understanding of Binah. It's the root of Binah. And the chasing thyself before God, and the words were heard, and I am come now for thy words. That means a lot when God starts visiting you. He said, I'm come. Now it's like this. I've brought you up here for your words. Represent those words to the Father. Because he doesn't have to come down anymore. We go up to the throne of God. Because we have a spirit that can inherit the kingdom. We go up and called up before the throne. Amen? Say, called up before the throne. Whew. Do you know how close we are to massive breakthrough? It's in a door. It's on a table. It's a big old slab of filet mignon there. Called breakthrough. God said, eat that. I might say no more. It's like Carson when I tell him, you ready to go eat? He goes, say no more. God lays a steak there. I say no more. I know what she's offering now. I know what she's spreading on her table. I know she's going to give the divine intelligence, heavenly insight, and understanding of the times we live in to produce a heavenly solution for every arena of life. I know that's what she's putting on her table. She'll give the solution to the creative miracles everyone's looking for, but nobody seems to have. She'll give the solution and I unlock the wealth of the nations. She'll give the solution on the political spirit that's trying to take over this nation. God is going to raise up counselors. I mean, some true ones that can see, really see, pinpoint accurate, detailed information, what's being whispered in the bedchambers of the enemies. We're going to see it, hear it, discern it, and give it to the right people to turn things around. This is what she's putting on her table. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But now, verse 14, I have come, what? To make thee what? To bean. To make thee understand. What shall befall the people in the last days? Isn't that awesome? You see this amazing table being spread. Now, go to Revelation 3 and I'll close this. Revelation 3. We began the ministry over 20 years ago with the very verses. 5 years before the ministry, I was given the revelation of Wisdom's House. We began the ministry with Proverbs 7, 8, and 9. That's how we started. We started with the seven pillars of wisdom. We started all that, not understanding the progression and what it took to truly move up into Wisdom's House, which was not bring it down, but to come up. Amen? Through her doors and to the table, what she wants to give a generation of sons and daughters walking with the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord that can truly see the counsels of heaven and bring them down into the earth. The seven spirits of God. I didn't know all that. We didn't know all that, but now we do. Amen? And so we made that progression. She brought all this back. And now, where have we been? Where have we been? Revelations 3, 4, 5. That's what's to come. What's to come? 3, 4, and 5. Very soon, 3, 4, and 5, the church is going to get crowned. God is going to release the seven spirits of God out from heaven into the earth on the bridal company of people. What do you think that looks like? It looks like 1,000 Daniels standing before kings. It looks like 1,000 Josephs in the earth. It looks like 100,000 Josephs and 100,000 Daniels suddenly being released into cities, communities, nations, being the release in places of darkness. All of a sudden, they come in and they're standing as counselors. Even over wicked kings, they were taking counsel from Daniel. Why? Because the understanding of Benaiah was on him. Wisdom was with him. This is what the seven spirits of God are going to do. He's going to take simplistic people and raise them up into high places. He'll say, I have no business being here, but the anointing's on me. I know more than you know. I didn't get this education from the world. The world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. By the way, I can tell you what you did the last 7 days. I'll tell you what's going to happen in the next 7 days. If God be for me, who can be against me? I have the light of 7 days. I have the light of 7 years. I have the seven spirits of God on me. That is what wisdom is giving. Who built David's house? Solomon. Who built Solomon's house? Wisdom. Right? David got the plans, purposes. He got all of the blueprints out from the Father. Right? He got the wealth from the Father. He hands it all to Solomon. We are the Solomon generation. We're going to get it all free from the Father. Christ is our David. He's given us it all free. He's given us the blueprints, the designs. He's going to give us the wealth to build his house in the last days. He's going to raise Solomon and wisdom will be with us. All right? Who built David's house? Solomon. Who built Solomon's house? All right. And wisdom what? Blessed is the man that watcheth daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Come to my table. Watch this right here, beginning and the end. What we started with, we're ending with. But we have a whole lot more understanding now. Saw this door and this table this weekend. I'm like, oh, there it is. She said, you want to know what's on it? Everything I've been talking to you about the seven spirits of God, time, habitation, Alpha and Omega, omnipresent, omniscience, all of that was on her table. All of that Solomon hiding, built with sons of Issachar, or with David, building with the understanding of time. Now watch this. Revelation 3, verse 7. It's like honey. It's like honey. Okay, verse 7. And the angel messenger of the church in Philadelphia, brotherly love, run that in your concordance down to the roots, and it'll actually say the bride's love for her husband, the bridal company. Church of the Bridal Company. It's a church of the Bridal Company. Right. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath what? Key of the what? He says key of David, but it's actually the house of David because he inherited it in Isaiah 22. Eliakim inherited, he says, is the only other place it's mentioned. He says the same thing. I give you the key to the house of David. I will open, no man can shut. I will shut, no man can open. Right? So watch. The key to what house? David. Who built David's house? Who built Solomon's house? How do you enter wisdom's house? A door. Right? A door. Say a door. It's pretty deep. Who holds the key to wisdom's house? Jesus. And what does he say? Enter into the door to wisdom. What does he say? He that hath the key to the house of David, who openeth, and no man. There, it doesn't matter if you got the prince of Persia or the prince of anything else. They cannot withstand you because you have a spirit that can ascend past the second heaven. They cannot stop you from entering in to the house of David, to the house of wisdom. They cannot stop you because I set before you an open door. Say, I set. The last day church, I set before you an open door to come in to the table of wisdom. The very one that built Solomon's house. Come in, I'm going to build it all over again. And the glory of this latter day house will be greater than the former. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Come to the treasury. Come, I have the key. I have the key. And I set before you an open door. I've opened the door to that house again. The one who built it then is building again. And the glory of the latter one will be greater than the former. Isn't that incredible? I set before you an open door to come and sup in wisdom's house. The very one that built David's house. I set before you, and no man, no system, nothing can shut down your access. Only you. If you give yourself to the harlot's domain, she'll cloud you over. You won't see it. But if you start learning to live in the high places, his fire and his glory and his light will be like lightning inside of you. He'll light you up so much, you'll stop stumbling. You'll see where you're going. You'll stay positioned all the time. You won't be yo-yoing all the time. You'll stay positioned in the high places with God. And he'll begin the process. Watch this. Of multiplying Christ in you. Multiplying the glory. Ever expanding until he breaks out over a city. Breaks out of a nation. What do you think he's breaking out with? He's going to bring the seven spirits of God down. He's going to start anointing the simplistic church with profound wisdom. Way past the gift realm. I heard a prophet on TV This one came up there. She said something different. She says, listen, she put her finger and she says, you need to stop prophesying out of your gift and start prophesying from the presence of the Lord. And I thought, whoa! She said, it's not going to get the job done for you to keep relying on your gift and thinking that's going to change the nations. You're going to have to stand in the presence of the Lord and start prophesying out of the presence of the Lord if you're going to change nations. This is what he's talking about. I set before you an open door. If, listen, our present wisdom can get us there, we've already been there. She's offering something at her table, and the Lord took the keys of David's throne, and he opened a door for this final church. I'm going to open a door for you. I'm going to give you something that no other generation has had. I'm going to put both a kingly anointing in you with perfect perfection and a priestly anointing with perfect perfection. And you're going to rule and reign in a way you've never ruled and reigned before. When Rick Joyner was in heaven and all of the cloud of witnesses were around him, every one of them wanted to be in our generation. Even some of the greats would have traded places to be in our generation. They said, you're part of the army of the last days. We're all watching you guys. You're going to become everything that we were not. The accumulation of every anointing, God is going to put all of that and accumulate it all in a mantle of the seven spirits of God. And he's going to open this door to wisdom's house again. He's going to call his simplistic church through that door. And there is no prince of Persia can stop you. Get that out of your head. We don't need spiritual warfare. We just go up. Ever increasing up into the Father. And then on the other side of the Father, the table of wisdom. It's there. Well, how do you know? Because I saw it. Because he opened all this up. What's the first door that God opened? There's only three doors mentioned in Revelation. That one I set before you an open door. At the door of your heart. If any man will come, I'll knock on the door of your heart. If you open it, I'll come and sup you with you where you are. And then I'll bring you to my table where I'm at. I'll come and sup at your table. Verse 20. Because God just tied the beginning of our ministry into the end of our ministry. You didn't just take the very beginning and tie it into the end. And just squeeze 20 years into a sandwich. He goes, oh yeah, I did. He says, behold, I stand at the door. The second time the door is mentioned. And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door of his heart, I will come to him and I'll sup with him. See the sup? They're going to eat. I'm going to eat at your table. And what? And what? He is going to eat what? With me at what? My table. Say my table. You know the one I'm opening for you? You know wisdom's table? This table? What's the next door? The only other door is the next door, the Omega. Chapter 4, verse 1. You ready? After this, after he said this, I looked. See, I looked. And a door was opened where? Where? In heaven. And the first voice I heard was, it was a voice of a trumpet talking to me. Come up hither. I will now show you the understanding of the last days. I'm going to give you what Solomon promised to give you. I'm going to give you what wisdom promised to give you. I'm going to give you the binah of the ancients. The same one that Daniel had, I'm going to give it to you, John. But you're a very rare, special breed. Because I'm not going to give it to you from where you are. I'm going to bring you to where I am. I'm going to take you, all of you, and transport you 2,000 years. And I'm going to drop you down. And I'm going to let you live in this place. Because thou, this is a living table, my friends. It's not a table I just to go look out in the future. It's a table I get to go venture out. Omnipresent omniscience will be the sign and the mark of the last day bridal company. Glory to God. Glory! Glory! You sat before us a door. You know, in Haggai chapter 2, he said on the 9th, 24th day of the 9th month, the day the foundation was finished. We are in the ninth month. I kind of believe the foundation has been finished. 20 years of foundation building. We've lost a lot. We've gained a lot. We've been through the fire. We've been through the water. We've been through the betrayal. We've been through anything you can think of. And we're standing here looking at wisdom's table. We're standing here before a set open door to move in to a heavenly operation of omnipresent omniscience to execute omnipotent dominion in the earth. And it's sitting at that table. Do not allow the enemy to cloud you over, because there are people that are sleeping right now that hear this stuff and they're falling asleep. I'm not talking about in this service. They're falling asleep because the enemy's clouding them over. You better be sharp. It's not very often God passes by out on the seas. When he walks by, the Omega's walking by. You better be sharp. And you better get on the train, because he's about to move us freely through some waters that we didn't have to pay the price for. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Let's all stand.